But, you know, I just hope a lot of them are going to make it. So, just finishing school, staying in school, getting involved. This is a big thing with a Mexican American student.
For the most reason.
Okay. I already mentioned parents. I have this at the end here. I do want to get the Mexican American parents involved too. Barbara mentioned it. They are interested in their kids too. They've showed me this when I've talked to them on a one-on-one basis. There's a kid that's truant, and I've called the mother about it. I know what type of help I'm going to get at home, because they respect their parents and they're scared and everything else. And so we start working from there to try to get that kid back in school.
Okay. Cover all your lines.
Yeah, I got it all.
May I ask a question for clarification, Lisa? We're still talking under the general umbrella of compensatory education, the funds you mentioned and so forth. All of these activities are within that, I take it. That was the thing.
Not everything that we mentioned. These are the things that Mr. Guzman and Mrs. Anderson have mentioned. Most of them are under the compensatory funds. However, some of them are under the regular district program. Everything Mr. King mentioned is the regular district program. Since Mr. Brooke had already covered the district counseling program, we just wanted to give you the additional facets that Lincoln has that wouldn't be common to you from other
21 schools. People, three positions, their finance out of compensatory education, the rest is district.
Okay, that's going to help the rest of us as we start talking to you. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay.
I think it would be highly unprofessional of me at the time to make any remarks without first stating that I have a vested interest. In fact, I have three vested interests. I first speak as a citizen of San Diego who lives and has always lived in the black community. And I speak as a father who has a son who will be attending Lincoln High School in the year of 1969-1970. And of course, I speak as an educator in the San Diego Unified School District. As my colleagues before me have mentioned, the program at Lincoln is quite impressive. We have many fully credentialed counselors who are veterans. We have implemented community programs over the last few years, which enable many community people become involved. We have ESEA funds, which enable us to provide more hours of counseling and more intensified counseling. The funds have also helped to decrease the class size, thereby allowing the teachers to work more intensively with youngsters, not only at this site, but at other sites. And hopefully they'll serve to motivate more young people to realize their full potential. The funds have also served, as I said, to involve more community persons, more than ever before, in the learning process, and to acquaint the people in the community with the mechanics of education. As a citizen, I feel that the allocation of ESE funds has made possible many needed improvements in the school district. Because of the attention that's been focused on the area of motivation, more youngsters, more than ever before, have been acquainted with career opportunities in many different fields. Now, at first glance, it would appear that the district has done all that's possible to ensure that each and every pupil is perfectly served. However, as a citizen and a parent, I know that there is much more that could be done. And as an educator, I know that much more must and will be done. As an educator, I know, as you know, that counseling is an unfinished business. It's an ongoing process. As an educator, I know that many years in the field and the thousands of dollars in funds do not necessarily make a program, a counseling program, perfect. ESEA funds, the Vocational Education Act, the Inner City Project, and all the other recent innovations are certainly measures that have improved the total school program. as a member of the teaching profession, it is most gratifying to me, to say the least, to see that the district recognizes the need, in spite of all the innovations, for all of the educators in the system to become sensitized to the needs of the community and to the needs of the pupils whom they serve. Teacher sensitivity in the Lincoln High School community involves being aware of cultural differences that are present in all minority groups and acting upon that awareness. The fact that educators are increasingly aware of the need for sensitivity can be readily seen in their participation, interest and attendance in dialogue, parent discussion groups, minority workshops, and other sensitivity sessions held in the community. Parents becoming aware of the need for sensitivity has been shown by their involvement in the parent advisory groups that have been spoken of, and by their general closer contact with the school. Funds and innovative programs do not necessarily ensure a successful school program, although they may be important ingredients. However, adequate funds, imaginative and highly trained educators, a totally involved community, and highly sensitive counselors and advisors may be very well the ingredients to ensure the complete success of this school program. Finally, I believe that the staff of Lincoln High School consists of highly trained and capable personnel who are becoming increasingly sensitive to the needs of the community it serves and to the pupils they serve.
Thank you. I think we can go on to any questions and answers now.
All right. It's about 6 minutes to 11. I see one hand behind me here, one on my left, and also some out front. It's about 6 minutes to 11. Will we just not ask questions for a couple of minutes? I know it's heated, but let's break just for a second. Don't leave the room. Just sit tight or turn around and yawn as long as you don't let somebody feel your arm or something. But relax for a couple of minutes. And we get right
I
back.
I have questions. I just got back.
We'll get to it in a few minutes, George. Let's relax for a couple of minutes. Take just a couple of minute break. Don't leave the room, and we'll get right back to it. After the break, we should feel more relaxed and try to clarify issues and ask questions that are meaningful so we can get some input in terms of meaningful replies. For those who are not used to the dialogue method, may I suggest again that your attack not be on the individual. If you wish to attack, it has to be on the issue, not the individual. This rule we must observe. I saw a hand behind me, but I saw one on my left. I'm going to start with the one on my left. Mike, Amador. Then I'll come to my back.
Well, what I want to do is, I noticed that in my area, in the harbor area, up here by the neighborhood house, there's always about 15 to 16 kids that are suspended from school. Now, what disturbs me is that, as you mentioned, 75% are dropouts. Now, when you suspend all these kids, what are you doing? I mean, this is, of course, to keep getting behind in their grades. What method or what are you doing to try to help them when they're being suspended? Or just send them home or what? You're not doing, it seems like you're not doing nothing about it. It's just they're lagging behind. They don't want to go to school anymore. And they create a psychological type of problem.
Maybe I should react to that because suspensions are not unique in Southeast San Diego. Suspensions occur in every one of our secondary schools. I think the thing you have to understand is this, that first of all, prior to the time that there's a suspension, a lot of other things have been tried. There's been counseling. There's been attempts to reach the parents. there's been normally, unless this is an overt kind of thing, there's been a lot of things tried, a lot of time spent in trying to modify, to control whatever leads to the suspension. Now, at some point, as I mentioned, there's punitive action, and I think we should recognize the suspension as just that. It's punitive. It's not solving the problem. Punitive action becomes necessary, and this youngster is sent home for 1 day, or 2 days, or 3 days, or 5 days. And during this period, of course, we'd hope that that youngster would think through, why is he home? And is there going to be any change when he comes back? And this is normally followed through with a parent conference again, and a review of why were you suspended, and what are the things you could have done, or I would hope it would be phrased, and what are the things that you could have done that would have avoided this? There isn't. Yes, you're absolutely right. I think we recognize that to send a youngster home for 2 days or 3 days doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't solve that youngster's problem, and it doesn't really solve the school's problem, because you are right, the youngster is getting further behind. But if he comes back with a positive attitude, I can assure you that I know of no school where he won't get the extra help that he needs to get caught up.
You have a question on that?
Yes.
First of all, is it really punitive, or you're really getting them out of your hair? And secondly, do they come back with a positive attitude? My impression is that this kind of thing, that they don't. I'm wondering how effective, really, is suspension in serving the purpose that it is intended to serve?
Again, Paul, I think some of them do, some of them don't. I think you can't make a blanket statement. Do they all come back with a positive attitude? The answer is no. Do none of them come back with a positive attitude? The answer is still no. There's no blanket. Again, we're talking about an individual child and how he reacts to an action that the school has taken. I think, let's be honest, I think there is a certain element of get him out of our hair, but I don't think that's the primary reason a youngster is suspended from school. I think one of the things it accomplishes is to get the parent into the action, because I can't say 100% of the time, in most of the cases the schools I work in, part of that youngster returning to school is a conference with that parent. The youngster's award of the court is with the probation officer or any other agency working with him.
My point would be that maybe or maybe not it should be done, but I think that some of there's a lot of myths that go along with suspension. And one of the myths is I don't know how much punishment it really is to the youngster. I would guess that a lot of these youngsters are doing it so that they can get suspended, and that's just reinforcing, really, rather than the opposite.
And I don't know.
I just comment, if I may.
Sure,
very briefly, just because I talked to quite a few kids who have been suspended and to their parents, and I think, frankly, all of the primary positives that can come from this is the relatively universal practice of enforcing a conference with the parents prior to the kids' return to school. Now, in a great many of these instances, and all I can do is rely on my observation over a period of time, that there has been previous attempts to contact parents, sometimes many of them, and to discuss with them, and these have been to no avail, whatever. So I think that may be the primary positive in the system. I couldn't debate your point, but maybe the kid himself says, this is great, I don't have to go to school today. So I would see that as a positive aspect.
You reject him as Paul. Let's introduce who he is. He's Dr. Paul Bruce, chairman of the counseling at State College? Counselor training at State College. Paul Bruce.
I might also point out that the speaker is Scott Gray.
Scott Gray over here, head of the administration of Carroll County.
Well, how could you get to the Mexican person? If you want to go up there and talk to the Mexican person, he can talk to you, and you don't speak Spanish, how are you going to get to talk to them, even if they go to school?
This is one of the reasons that the folks were complaining that we have
well,
people.
Yeah, but this is what's happening now. This is with Lincoln, and we're saying San Diego High School, where the majority of the Mexican Americans are coming over there.
San Diego High School, huh?
San Diego High School.
Has a person that has the same role as Gilbert Guzman, so Madrid is there.
For Laura.
Yeah, you saw Madrid is there, and is really full time in the same capacity that Gilbert Guzman is.
Lincoln, how many Mexican Americans do you have up there?
Last year we had about 170. This is, of course, on a visual survey. We don't have the current.
And San Diego High?
San Diego High. Mm-hmm. I've got figures.
And one counselor?
Mm-hmm. Sol Madrid is not the only bilingual counselor at San Diego High. Robert Dwight.
Well, what do you call this? Visiting teacher? What is this? Psychologist that you have? Do you have any Mexicans in that?
Yes, yes, we have some.
And on
he is in
the partial answer, just like I'm sure they're part of my responsibility. When a situation of this kind arises where there is a language problem, I have enough people on my staff who are quite confident in Spanish that I simply cross assignment lines and assign one of them to talk to these people.
You're saying you should observe a problem somewhere, is that right, Mike? And you don't know what can be done about it.
I want to point out, again, we have one vacancy right now in one of our schools where we're trying to find a Mexican-American who is qualified to fill it as a community relations person. We're concerned about the very thing that you're getting at, that we need more people.
See, I was thinking the other day of getting all these kids that are suspended and hold a great big meeting, and without them knowing who you big people are, have a kind of a dialogue, see? And this really could get their feeling, you know, what they feel, what the school really is.
That's a good
idea. Oh, you want to follow still on that point?
It's pretend.
By all means.
Let's hear it then, because we want to get it from the other.
Yeah, I think the big question and I suppose implied criticism that I have is in terms of the kinds of counseling that I hear or my impression that goes on, and it has to be impression because I haven't gone out to study it, is that there's no one in the school who's exclusively identified with the kids. And one of the reasons and questions that I raised about the rotation system is because I think the rotation system of advisors rules against, and there are other things that do this too, a counselor or someone else or several others in the school who would be there to identify with, that is to be there and understand, to be a confidant of the student. And I think this is particularly true or important in the minority schools. It's also true in the other schools, but there you have establishment-oriented kids, and they can live with, they tolerate, although some of them are not as tolerant anymore. But when you get into a different cultural area, it seems to be essential that you have some people whose exclusive identification is not with teachers, not with administrators, but with the students, for these kinds of students in particular, but for all of them.
To answer the doctor a question, in your department at the Big College, where you're preparing people for these roles, what are you doing out there? What is the program out there to bring about this same thing that you put up there?
Yeah, first of all, let me say not enough. But we make some attempts, and we need to make more. We do have a course that all of our people take in what we call the sociological determinants of behavior, in which the different cultural norms and values are brought up. And teaching these courses, I'm proud to say, we have people who at least get out into the community, that they're not content to stay up in the Ivory Tower. We have Tom Gillette, who you may know, teaches this course. We have Ubaldo Palomares, who teaches the course. And these are people who do get out into the minority community. Now, we do try, and not as successfully as we'd like, in our practicum to have some of our counselor trainees to go out into the minority schools. We're not as successful. We've tried on occasion, and Mrs. Cochran, who's my colleague here, who is a practicum supervisor, has had an incident which is related to this, in which she was in a sense turned off with this proposal. But we would like to send more of our counselor trainees into the minority schools, in addition to other kinds of experiences.
May I ask you a question on this side? I think that maybe there has not been as much identification as you would like, but our grade level advisors are with these students 3 years, and so they do get to know this particular student rather well over the 3 year period. Even this past year, several students have put on their cards. I noticed that Mr. Gooseman is now their counselor, although he's still not, today the grade level advisor, but they've already identified so closely with him that they feel that he is their counselor. In my sessions of group counseling, the students have also identified with me. They may go to their grade level advisor, but when they have other types of problems with their other scheduling, they do come to me and ask for me. So there's much more of this than you, of which you may be aware, and at least I think in high school.
There's one more thing, too, if I might add to that. We have two advisors.
Allow, please.
We have two advisors now who are on their second go-round, if you want to. And if I had continued, I'd have been on my third or possibly my fourth. I have been in the field and still have some of the others.
You have another reaction there, Paul?
Yes, I do. First of all, I can't, and I wouldn't want to personalize it, because I don't know. I would not deny for the world or for the minute that you two or any other individual do not identify exclusively with the kids. But I can only argue on principle that when you have people coming out of the classroom, and if we're going back into the classroom, and whose part of whose function has indicated